So the reading is from Colossians 3, starting at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
I think I ought to make a little explanation of something that we've never really explained here. When the service is just about to start, if you're already seated in here, we play a little jingle. You may have noticed that. And when the service finishes, we play that little jingle again. And you might sometimes sit here and think, why on earth do we play that little jingle? But just if you cast your mind right back to the days of lockdown, we used to do our services online, and we started that service with the little jingle. And when we started back into the services back here in the room, we decided that because we were live streaming, that we would start the service with that same jingle, just to have a continuity. And it means that if we're sitting in here and we're chatting, you've got around about 25, 30 seconds to finish conversations before the service starts. If you're outside in the side room, you know, you hear the jingle. Oh, it's time, the service is about to go. But it also means when you hear the jingle at the end of the service, it means we're no longer live streaming. And that just helps those who don't want to be seen on the camera to get off the camera before the service starts, and they can freely move around. Once you hear the jingle, they won't be on camera as well. So just to explain that, in case you've sat here for months thinking, why on earth do we play that jingle? Some of you haven't even noticed we play one, I know. So there we go. The idea of having some questions answered, I want this morning as well. So I put three questions up on the screen. How should you dress? What should you duplicate, and where should you dwell? And these are three D questions that Paul addresses in our reading today from the letter to the Colossians that we've been working our way through over these last few weeks, looking at what Paul taught the church and to see how he was teaching them how they can connect better with their relationship with Jesus and their relationships with each other. So let's think about this first question on this list. How should you dress? Over the years, I've dressed up in a variety of outfits. And so one Easter, you might remember, we put the resurrection on trial. And myself and Stephen, he was the prosecution and I was the defence for the resurrection. So I dressed up in a white wig and a black robe. I then also used that same black robe but with a different hat when I was the very stern headmaster for the holiday at home that some still haven't got over yet. Because apparently I was a little bit too heavy-handed, apparently. And I don't think we lost any members of our older generation here, but they were scared about coming back the next day. At Christmas time, I tend to wear a number of different kind of outfits, and that was a real blessing that day when John also decided to dress up a little bit with me. And I've also been a 6-foot inflatable Christmas tree at one point. I've dressed up as a Roman soldier as part of the music video that we made during lockdown, in which over 80 people joined in to make that. You can still see that online if you want to watch that great video we made. And also I was played the part of King David when Kath was preaching one of her sermons. And if you're worshiping with us online this morning, Kath, a very warm welcome to you. During lockdown, I also dressed up as a high priest to explain how those particular bits of dress that he wore meant something. And I also dressed up as a banana. And I'll leave it up to your own imagination as to why I did that. You might also remember that during one of our meetings, I think it was during lockdown, when we were able to finally meet together, but outside. We had our church anniversary service outside, so I wore a brolly hat. And I was very pleased to see that that started a trend, so that those who were teaching the kids outside in the wet, and also when we went as a staff to play golf as well, brolly hats came out as well. So it was a temporary trend, I hasten to add. No one still wears those things, but there you go. Starting to dress up, maybe catches on. And probably all of us who are worshipping, whether it's here in this building or worshipping with us online, at some point in your life, you will have dressed up in some kind of outfit that may have been a little bit more unusual, and maybe you don't always wear it. And that being the case, because I can see those in the building today, I know you are no longer wearing those particular pieces of clothing. You had them on for a season, and it might have been appropriate, but then you took them off again. Because that season had come to an end. In today's reading, Paul talks about some attitudes that the Christians in the church in Colossae were to demonstrate because they were Christians. And he likened it, he pictured it as being like putting on certain clothing. And the message, this is the paraphrase, actually puts it this way, of chapter 3, verse 12. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. The lovely kind of image. Just as you chose, or someone chose for you, what you're wearing this morning, you picked it out, or they picked it out. So this kind of the idea is God has picked out a wardrobe for us to wear. And then Paul lists some spiritual clothing that we are to put on. But unlike our unusual bits of outfit that we might put on for a moment and then take off again, Paul saying, once you've put these on, you're meant to keep them on. You're not meant to take them off once church services are over, or when there's special times when you want to look spiritual. You're meant to put them on and keep them on. This is the wardrobe that God has given to us. And this wardrobe is in contrast to what we looked at last week. This is all part of a continuity of thought, by the way. We're working our way through Colossians. But when Paul wrote Colossians, it was one progression of thought. So what we looked at last week is the first part of his thought. So last week he was thinking about the wardrobe that we shouldn't put on, or that if we've got it on, we've got to put it off. So last week we looked at these kind of lists, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, anger, rage, malice, slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on your new self. This is a wardrobe of the flesh, if you like. And Paul, as we saw last week, said, you shouldn't still have this on. It may have been the way you were before you were a follower of Christ, but now you're a new creation in Christ. You've put on the new life. So now the new life means you've got to take off anything that you're still carrying on wearing, spiritually speaking, that's connected with your old way of life that you used to live before you knew Jesus. Some things are just no longer appropriate now you're a believer in Jesus. Get them off. They're part of your old life. They're not relevant. They're not appropriate for a Christian to do and think and behave. But equally so, Paul is now saying the second part of chapter 3, and here are things you want to make sure you put on, because these are things that must be part of your life as that new believer in Christ. So he provides another list to follow this wardrobe of the flesh with the wardrobe that God has placed upon people. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Why have I put a bride there? Well, when we go to a wedding, all eyes are upon the bride, and we all kind of make comments on how beautiful the bride looks. And the Bible says that as Christians, we are the bride of Christ, and we are meant to look beautiful in the eyes of our bridegroom, who is Jesus. So when he looks at us, he looks at something beautiful, and he's looking for these beautiful Christ-like qualities in us: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That word compassion means to suffer together. It means when we're confronted with another person's suffering, we feel motivated to relieve that suffering. And Jesus is often spoken of in the scriptures as having been moved with compassion. And that often meant that when he was presented with spiritual need and physical need, he was moved with compassion. And sometimes both of those things happen in one occasion. So, for example, in Mark chapter 3, 6 verse 33, it says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching many things. Then, after they'd been listening for a long period of time, Jesus then says to the disciples, or the disciples say to him, rather, they've been here for a long time, send them away because they're all hungry. And Jesus says, well, you feed them. And I said, well, we can't feed them. There's too many people. There's over 5,000 people here. And so he says, what have we got? He says, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. The little boy donates. And then Jesus blesses them, distributes them, and over 5,000 people are not only fed to the point when their hunger is satisfied, it says in the scripture. This is the only miracle apart from resurrection that is in every single one of the Gospels. They all ate to satisfaction. But then they collected up 12 basketfuls of crumbs as well. They had more left over than they started with. Fantastic. Jesus met the need both spiritually and physically. He met the spiritual need by teaching them and the physical need by giving them food in the form of bread and fish. Paul lists these other qualities, these virtues, as well as compassion. He lists kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and love. They're all separate characteristics, but I do think that they are all entwined with each other. Because if a person is moved with compassion towards someone, to the point that they're suffering with them, and a desire to relieve that suffering, then it will result in that person engaging in some form of act of kindness towards them. Because you won't suffer for somebody unless you feel, I've got to do something about it. And that will be an act of kindness. And whilst demonstrating that act of kindness, the person who's administering it will be deeply humbled in the process. Not only in terms of being able to say to the Lord, well, thank you, here by the grace of God go I, that I haven't fallen into the same difficulty that this person has fallen into. But also they may find themselves having to humble themselves by getting their hands dirty and get involved in some kind of caring ministry that may mean that even somebody who maybe is a top executive in a business may be doing something that is very humbling or maybe even humiliating in order to help to relieve the person who's in need. I've mentioned before a story of a number of years ago, a significant event in my life took place when I found myself with an overwhelming sense of compassion exhibited towards a particular person who was an alcoholic. His destructive pathway had caused the breakdown of his marriage. We knew his family as linked with our church. It led to a disassociation with his children. They kind of disowned him. He lost his job. He lost his dignity. He lost where he was living to the point that he then ended up sleeping rough in the doorways of shops. And I didn't initiate anything, but I felt this overwhelming sense of compassion rise up within me that I needed to walk alongside this man to give him hope for the future, to help him to get to the meetings that we were setting up that offered hope for him to be able to break out of the cycle of addiction that he was in. And it would have been so easy just to cross over the road and ignore him, let somebody else deal with it. It would have been very easy to contact the police and ask to remove him from the doorways. But instead, I found this overwhelming sense of compassion and an urgency to care for him. And that meant involving some personal care as well. And the overwhelming sense that if I didn't walk alongside him and help him, this man would die. And therefore, this was urgent. Compassion leads to humble engagements of acts of kindness. I can bear witness to that and a very meaningful and life-changing moment that brought about in my life. It carries on in the list. Once you recognize that you're helping someone who's vulnerable, you know that you've got to be gentle with them, not to coerce them or judge them for their situation. And in order to be able to try and help relieve a situation, of course, knowing that maybe you can't, but if you try, it may be it won't happen as a quick fix. You might be in for the long haul. And with this gentleman that myself and a number of others in the church, in a previous church, was helping, We ended up caring for him for months to try and help him to be able to break the pattern he was in. I'm very pleased to say that now, after many years, he's been sober for many years and is now in full-time employment again. In his case, we had a success story. Paul says all of these things are bound together in perfect unity by love. And therefore he says, put on the love as a loving expression that needs to be manifested through your life. And so when I read these particular verses, my mind goes back to that experience with that particular man and other experience I had following on from that, to be able to help care for the vulnerable. But it's interesting that when Paul gives this list of these virtues, I don't think he had alcoholics in mind, nor homelessness in mind, nor people necessarily with sickness or poverty. It may include that, but I don't think that was particularly what was in his mind. Because when Paul taught the church to show compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience and love, it was within the context of showing it towards people who they didn't get on with. People, actually, who had offended them. Surely not, I can hear you all cry. But actually, look, if you take a look, I missed out a verse. When he says all this, I put some dots after the word patience, because in between him saying about patience and love, this is how the verse actually reads in its entirety. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You see, sandwiched between these ones, Paul, I don't think, goes off on a tangent. I think Paul has got these things in mind. Just as we said last week, he ends in verse 11 of this same chapter, listing people, said, whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, Jew or Gentile, Scythian, barbarian, it doesn't matter, we're all in Christ. I think Paul's carrying on with that idea. You've got this wrong wardrobe you need to take off. You've got this right wardrobe you need to put on, because church is full of people who we don't always get on well with, and we are ministering to a community that we won't always agree with. So we've got to show and demonstrate something to the world that actually being a follower of Christ makes a difference, both in terms of eternity, but also in the way we respond to one another here in living our human lives here on earth. So I think Paul is still thinking here and teaching the church, don't fall out with each other, or don't use your lips to speak negatively against each other. Actually, put on clothing that actually is showing compassion and love and kindness and humility and love towards each other, including those who you don't particularly like. He says, bear with each other. Bear with each other. Other modern versions use these phrases to translate that phrase. Be tolerant with each other. Or try to understand other people. Put up with each other. And make allowance for each other's faults. All of those things are encapsulated in how the NIV puts it, bear with one another. And therefore, to not bear with one another means we're being intolerant. We are not understanding each other. We are not putting up with each other. We are not accepting each other. And we're not making allowances for each other's faults. Those people who are intolerant and all of those things are more likely to use their speech in a negative way towards people who've offended them. Wearing the wrong kind of wardrobe. I'm intolerant of you, so I'm going to use my speech to speak out. I don't accept your fault, so I'm going to be critical and judgmental. So this list that Paul said before, the wardrobe of flesh is more likely to come if you're not bearing with other people. You're more likely to use malice and slander and maybe lie about them, because that's what's driving your life because of your attitude towards them. And Paul says, the church and community is going to be made up of people who are different to us, so we've got to bear with each other. Tolerate, understand, put up with, make allowance, but not do that kind of under duress and, oh, I'll have to put up with them, I'll tolerate you. It's meant to be with the banner of love. Actually, I want to get on with everybody, even though we are different. So from the subject of how should you dress, Paul then goes on to the subject of what should you duplicate. And of course, the answer is always Jesus. And he is to serve, and he does serve, as the example of how we should live. And Paul highlights a particular ministry of Jesus that the church is meant to duplicate as we try and bear with people we don't get on with. And here it comes, we're all familiar with it. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. If it gets to the point when someone has offended you, says Paul, rather than allow it to brew up inside you and to the point that you then lash out in anger and rage and malice and slander, before all that happens, diffuse that situation, says Paul, by forgiving them. You do it. You activate that particular grace. And we've already considered the subject of forgiving one another as part of this particular sermon series, and so we won't go through all that again, but it is worth noting that Paul said to this church in Colossae, and I think also by his spirit he says to the 21st century church, that if we find ourselves saying, when we think about anybody who's offended us, forgive them? Impossible. You can't forgive what they have done. Or if we find ourselves saying, forgive them? Unacceptable. You can't forgive them for what they've done. If we're tempted not to forgive someone, Paul then says, look to the example of Jesus and duplicate it. Forgive, how? As the Lord forgave you. When you're tempted, when I'm tempted, when you're tempted to not forgive someone because we don't think they deserve it, which most of the time will be absolutely true, we're meant to remember that Christ forgave us and we also didn't deserve his forgiveness, but he offered it anyway. So we are meant to duplicate Jesus in the area of forgiveness. And in case we are tempted also to say, ah, yes, but Jesus was the Son of God, so of course he could forgive everyone. He was 100% God, but let's remember Jesus was also 100% man. He's the perfect example of someone living under the anointing of the Spirit to show us an example of how we too are meant to live as we're filled by the same Spirit as Jesus. Freely we receive forgiveness. Freely we're meant to show it to others. Forgive them, said Jesus, and bear with them, tolerate them, put up with them, but in an attitude of love and kindness, not out of reluctance or under duress. And why is that important? The reason is because Jesus has called us to a life of peace. And so you might remember that in Matthew 5:9, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. He wants us to have that blessing. Blessed are. So the only way we can receive that blessing is to be a peacemaker. So Paul instructs the church to have their hearts and their minds dominated by the peace of Christ. So he says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. We are to focus on the peace that Jesus brings as a result of him forgiving us of our sins. We now have peace with God and the peace of God because of Jesus. Because through him, we know that we're loved, we are accepted, we're forgiven, we're saved. He's our provider, he's our guide, he's our protector, he's our friend. So we sang earlier, he keeps all of his promises. All God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, it says in Corinthians. We can therefore be released from the pressure of feeling that everything depends on us to earn God's favor through our works, and replace it with the joy and peace in knowing that actually everything has been done already. Again, as Peter's already reminded us in worship this morning, it's finished. It's complete. It's accomplished. Everything that needs to be done to make us right with God was fulfilled through the act of Jesus upon the cross, taking upon himself the punishment for our sin. rose again from the dead to offer us eternal life to all those who then would put their trust in Jesus by connecting with him and saying, Jesus, you've died for my sin, so I repent of that sin and ask you to forgive me of my sin because you've already died to pay the price for it. Then we connect with him and we're able to receive forgiveness, salvation, eternal life. Experience the peace of God. And so Paul says to the church in Colossae, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts by nurturing a peaceful attitude towards others. Because you can't have peace with God and truly experience the peace of God if you've got ill feeling towards other people, because that disturbs the peace. John wrote this once in his letter. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they've seen cannot love God whom they've not seen. And he's given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Loving God, loving each other, it all goes hand in hand. To have true peace with God, we mustn't be at war with any of God's creation. So Paul says, you're called to peace, so nurture these Christ-like qualities of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love towards those you don't get on well with. And if we have a problem with any of this, which perhaps if we're honest, some of us might, if we have a difficulty putting on this godly wardrobe, then that means we need to either, two choices, I suppose, really, is we need to keep doing what we're always doing, having trouble with it, or address it by praying into it and saying, Lord, I realize that this particular area in my life needs fine-tuning because it's not quite in line with what you desire. And I know the piece of wardrobe. I can see it. It's hanging in my wardrobe. I see it every time I go to the wardrobe, but I'm not putting it on. I tried putting it on, but I took it back off again quite quickly because it was really difficult. It was uncomfortable. It was a little bit, you know, it wasn't quite as comfortable as the nice cotton shirt. It was a little bit more rough. And so I took it back off again. And if we know that happens with us when it comes to these qualities, then we need to pray into it more. And we need to study God's word more to understand, well, how can we better put on these particular virtues in our life? And that leads us to that last question. Where should we dwell? Paul says this. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. As we've looked in this series, this is a church that's been bombarded with all kinds of false teaching about Jesus and about thinking that maybe he didn't come in the flesh. Thinking that maybe he was a created angel, the idea that there are some people with divine knowledge who know far more, we need to follow them more than Jesus. Others who might say you've got to add the law to following Jesus in order to be accepted of God. So Paul instructs the church to immerse themselves in the true teaching of Jesus. And then you can check out what other people are teaching alongside what Jesus actually taught. And then you know whether it's something you can embrace because it's in line with what Jesus already said, or something to reject because it's in contradiction to what Jesus has already said. I wonder if we would say that the message of Christ dwells richly in us. If not, there's so much that we can do about it. There are so many books and podcasts and videos available to our generation to allow us to grow in our knowledge and understanding of Jesus. We don't have to go to a library. The library comes to us using the internet. And books that we can buy and have in a belt in our house and put on the shelves. Nowadays, we can grasp a true understanding of Jesus. And we can speak that out to other people because we can gain a confidence in more knowledge of how Jesus lived and how we're meant to. We don't really have an excuse about saying, well, I didn't know, I didn't realize, I didn't understand, because we've got so many resources. We've just got to match the abundant resources with a passion and a desire to learn more and to readjust our lives to bring it in line with what the scriptures say we're meant to live. The Message paraphrase puts it this way: let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house give it plenty of room in your lives. So if you know that you're only at the starting point of your spiritual journey, and perhaps you might value being involved in learning more and exploring more about the Christian faith because you know you're just beginning on that journey, I want to encourage you to pick up one of these Connect cards. They're in the foyer just here. This Connect cards has a number of different areas in the life of the church if you'd like to know more about how you could get involved in them. And one of them says, an alpha-type discipleship course. So we're going to plan in the days to come a simple, straightforward course about learning more about the Christian faith. So if you're early on your journey of faith and you'd be interested in that, then just put a tick beside that and we can invite you to become part of that course. Or if you're more mature in the faith, but you want to go deeper into certain areas in the life of understanding where God fits into this area of life, or more understanding on some aspects of the Christian faith that may have been awakened through a sermon or through something you've read, then just use the card again and just where it says something else, write down there. I'd love us to have some further teaching on a subject or maybe even a special group that might meet together specially over a period of time to explore a particular issue. Again, use that Connect card to get hold of that. We've added some other ones on here from a couple of weeks ago. We've added serving refreshments after the service. If you'd like to join that group, you can tick there. And we've also put, if you'd like to help with BATS, which is the baby and toddlers on a Friday morning, helping to set up all the toys and put them away again. Really helpful. A lot of the events we have put a lot of stuff out and a lot of stuff back. And we'd love some people who have got energy during the week who could come and help with that so that it doesn't always fall upon those people or also delivering those ministries. So do pick up one of those cards. Whether any of those things I've just said interest you or not, there might be something else on the card that would interest you to get involved in the life of the church. So do pick up one of those. Just finally, Paul teaches that we are to clothe ourselves with the character of Christ and to follow the example of Jesus and to dwell in the message of Jesus. And that is meant to motivate our lips as we speak for him. As we speak to others about Jesus and allow it to become the determining factor on how we decide whether or not there's right and wrong behavior in the church. Well, what does the scriptures say? That's meant to be our go-to place. Not how do I feel or what does the society say? What does the culture currently say? We're meant to say, well, what does God say in his word? Using our lips to express gratitude and thanksgiving to God for all of his provisions. So three times in our reading today, Paul encourages the church to express words of gratitude and thanksgiving. So he says this. So I keep forgetting to put that card up there, which I always sort of think for those people who are worshiping with us online, they don't actually get to see that card. So let's just leave that there for a moment for those people. Just talk amongst yourselves for a minute. And we'll just let those who are worshiping with us online have a little look through that and see if there's anything. Okay, you can wind back if you want to watch it again. Okay, so here are the things which Paul says about the voice. He says in verse 15, you were called to peace and be thankful. Verse 16, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. End of verse 17, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's what a Christian is meant to sound like. Anything less means we're a work in progress and we need refining. So, how should we dress? We need to be dressed in the character of Jesus. What should we duplicate? The example of Jesus. Where should we dwell? Immerse ourselves in the message of Jesus. So as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, let us put on Christ's likeness. Let's bear with one another. Let's dwell in the message of Jesus. And let's give thanks to the God who has called us to be his people of peace. Let's pray that home as the band comes up to lead us in our closing worship. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that your word, at times, Lord, can be difficult to understand, but you've given us so many resources to help us to dig down deep so we can get understanding. But Lord, also, your word sometimes is just so straightforward that it's very difficult to miss. And I thank you, Lord, for the words of Paul that we've been able to read this morning. There are so much more in that than we could cover this morning. But Lord, I pray in the simplicity of words that it would lead to practical applications that will delight you. And that, Lord, when you look at us, Lord, you will see the beauty of your own Christ-likeness in us. And that the world around us will see that Christ-likeness because we're showing not a fleshly wardrobe, but the wardrobe that you have picked out for us. So I thank you, Lord, for the challenge of what we've read today and considered. And I pray we allow your Spirit to work in and through us as we process that in our lives. And that, Lord, you'll be pleased in our response to your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.